You have your Bibles. We want to turn to Lamentations in chapter 1. Lamentations chapter 1. I want to speak on that text. It's found in the verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Let's look to the Lord and ask for his help tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you for thy grace and love and mercy. And we thank you for the hymn singing tonight. And we've been singing about Christ. We've been singing about his love, his death upon the cross, and how he died to put away our sin. And he is the Savior of those who trust him. We pray for help now as we return to thy word. We pray for a word in season to hearts here tonight. Lord, there's nothing like the cross of Christ to break a sinner's heart. I think of David, with Nathan speaking to David, and there was a story of the lamb that had been killed that broke David's heart. I pray, Lord, that even the story of the Lamb of God will break the sinner's heart tonight. They will come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for help. We pray for thy blessing. That everything we said and done, Lord, for thy glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah was a man who had a great heart for the people of God. In his heart, he longed that this people, the children of Israel, would love and serve the Lord. And you will find as you read the book of Jeremiah that he was a man who wept over the calamity and trouble that fell upon his people. In Jeremiah 9 and verse 1, he says, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." And here's a man who had a burden for the children of Israel. And when they were troubled, so was he. And when they were hurt, so was Jeremiah. And he wept and he cried and he lamented over the children of Israel. You see, here was a man, he had a heart like the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a heart for God's people. He had a heart for all the trouble that they were in. You think of Christ in Matthew 9, verse 36. "And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." And this is brought out for us before here in this book of Lamentations. Jeremiah is lamenting over the destruction, and over the trouble, and over the sorrow that has befallen this people. He lamented over the fall of this great city. Jerusalem was the greatest of all cities. But now, as he looked all around him, this great city, the city where the people dwelt, the place where God dwelt among the people, it had fallen and fallen greatly. And it broke the heart of this preacher, of this prophet, the man of God, as he looked around the city. The city had fallen greatly. You look in verse 1, "How does the city sit solitary that was full of people?" In verse 4, "All her gates are desolate." In verse 6, "And from the daughter of Zion, all her beauty is departed." No matter where he looked around this city with his eyes. He saw the departure of the power and the presence of God. And there was an emptiness. And there was a destruction. And the enemies had come into this city and they had burnt it with fire. As he looked around the city of Jerusalem, it broke the heart. It broke the heart of this man. That great city. The great city had fallen. Think about also the crying of the people. Verse 2. "She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks." In verse 4, it says, "The ways of Zion do mourn." The people were crying. There was sorrow. There was trouble all around. No matter where he heard the weeping. He heard the wailing of the people. Hearts were broken. Homes were broken. The joy of the whole earth, Jerusalem, that once was the joy of the whole earth, was turned into mourning in a moment. And as he looked and heard all their sorrows, all the trouble, his heart was touched. You look, you saw their captivity. You see in verse 3, Judah has gone into captivity. This was his people. These were the people he preached to. These were the people that he knew. And as he preached to this people, he loved this people. He wept over them. Now he looked, they had gone into captivity. Even the little children had been taken. And his heart was broken into a million pieces as he looked over the city. He saw their captivity. He saw also their corruption. Look at verse 8. Jerusalem had grievously sinned. He saw the sin. He saw what was the trouble of this city. Oh, this great city, this godly city at one time, this mighty city, city of riches, a city of power. Now he looked around him. It was empty. The people had been taken in captivity. There was sorrow. There was trouble. There was death. There was destruction that came before his eyes. So much so that he cries out in verse 12, "It's enough unto you, all ye that pass by." He's shouting out to the crowd. "It's enough unto you. Am I the only man who has a burden for this people? Am I the only person who can see the trouble? Am I the only person with a broken heart for this city and for this people? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." Has anyone ever seen a sorrow sight than this? Has anyone ever seen trouble like this? "Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow." Is there anyone? Has anyone ever experienced a greater sorrow than my sorrow? Do you see him standing? Do you see him standing in the ashes of the city? In the distress and sorrow of the city? And he's throwing out a challenge. "It's enough unto you, all ye that pass by. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow." Has anyone ever experienced a greater sorrow than my sorrow? He's calling out to the people. There's one answers back. There's only one can answer back to Jeremiah. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. He can answer back to Jeremiah, "Yes, I have seen greater sorrow than your sorrow. I have suffered greater suffering than your suffering." The Lord Jesus Christ can take these words of Jeremiah and he can make them his very own. And he can say these words from the very depths of his heart. "It's enough unto you, all ye that pass by, behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow." Christ can say it. He can say these words back to Jeremiah. "I have seen greater sorrow than your sorrow." And I would like us to take these words of Jeremiah and apply them to Christ. They are prophetic words of Christ as he hung upon the cross and died for our sins. Because you can see here the anguish of the cross. The word sorrow actually means anguish, grief, or sorrow. And the Lord Jesus is saying, "Have you ever seen any sorrow like unto my sorrow? Has there ever been a more sorrowful sight in all the universe and in all of the world as the Lord Jesus Christ dying upon the cross on Calvary? Has there ever been a more sorrowful sight? Behold and see," he says. "Has there ever been sorrow like unto my sorrow?" You see, think of the anguish of the cross. Think of this sorrow that can be seen in his soul. Because it tells me in Matthew 26 and verse 38, Lord Jesus said unto them, that was with his disciples, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." The word sorrowful means grieved all around. And here is the blessed Son of God, and his very soul is surrounded with sorrow as he is going to face death. "Did you ever see sorrow," he says, "like unto my sorrow?" You think how he was in the garden at Gethsemane in Luke 22 and verse 44. It says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Oh, do you see the man of sorrows, Christ Jesus? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it tells us here that he's sweating, as it were, great drops of blood falling down onto the ground. There's something wrong with Christ. You see, he's exceedingly sorrowful. His soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Did you ever see the likes of this? There was never sorrow like unto the sorrow which was done unto Christ. Because all his sorrow was borne for others. When we think about his soul, we see that Christ, we see his sorrow. We see his anguish. You think about not only his soul and his anguish, think his sovereignty. You see, the man upon the cross is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. This is no ordinary person who's saying these words. It's nothing to you, all you that pass by. Here's the one who is Lord of lords and King of kings. Here's the one who made the world. Here is the very one. The angels of God in heaven will fall down before Christ and they'll worship him. Here's the one came into this world, God come in the flesh. There he is covered in bruises. There he is covered in blood. And he's crying out to the crowd, is it nothing? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? I'm the King of glory. I'm the Lord of lords. And yet there I am on the cross. Did you ever see sorrow like unto my sorrow? Have you ever seen a sight like this? The one who is so high and lovely, the one who is King of kings, the one who is Lord of lords, there he is on the cross. Did you ever see sorrow like that? One writer said they spat into his face. They plucked off his hair, they blindfolded him, they smote him with their fists, they scourged him. The bloody scourges made the sacred drops to roll. And then stood by and mocked his prayers and made jest about his groans and pangs. Never was one so high brought so low. Did you ever see one so sorrowful? So high. Paul said that they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Here is the King of glory upon the cross. The sight of the fall of the city of Jerusalem was not as sorrowful as this sight. And I'm not taking away what Jeremiah saw. It broke his heart. As he looked upon the city of destruction, he saw the emptiness, the captivity, the corruption, the cries, the weeping, the tears of the people. A terrible, terrible sight came before his eyes. But here's a greater sight. Here's a greater sorrow. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord and King, dying upon the cross. Do you ever see sorrow, he said, like unto my sorrow? The King of glory upon the cross. You think of the anguish of the cross also can be found in his saints. You see, the Lord Jesus, as he died upon the cross, he died alone. Now, we do know, of course, that there were two criminals dying beside him. But where was Peter? Where was Peter who says, Lord, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Where were all the other people who served with Christ, who walked with Christ, who worked with Christ for a few years? Where were his friends? The Bible tells us where they went to. In Mark 14, verse 50, and they all forsook him and fled. And he was forsaken in this time of his greatest need. Now, when a person is in great sorrow, we usually go to them. If you hear that somebody is in great anguish, great sorrows, you'll do everything you know. You run to their home. You lift the phone. You go to contact them. You go to try to help them, just like Job's friends. But did you ever see sorrow like unto the sorrow of the Lord Jesus Christ? His very friends, they forsook him. And there he is. There he is all alone. There he is upon the cross all alone. He says, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Did you ever see it? Did you ever see anybody forsaken like this in their greatest, greatest time of need? No, we have to say, Lord, I have never seen these things. There's no sorrow like the sorrow of Christ. The very anguish of the cross can be found here, even in his saints, even in his separation. Because we hear the Lord Jesus Christ crying out from the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? There he is upon the cross, and he's forsaken not only by his saints, but we find here he's forsaken by the Father. Oh, the sorrow of the cross, the anguish of the cross. My God, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? That was the greatest pain of all. To be forsaken by God the Father. It broke the heart of Christ. I never hear him crying out about the pain he felt when the nails went through his hands or the whip upon his back. But we find him crying out when they realized the Father had turned his face away. He says, my God, why has thou forsaken me? Oh, the very anguish of the cross. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. That's what Christ is saying. Did you ever see anything like this? A sorrowful sight like this. The King of glory, the Lord of all, dying upon the cross. There he is, all alone, forsaken, forsaken by his friends. And his Father turned his face away. Did you ever see a sorrowful sight in the man of Calvary? Did you? Even this anguish can be found in the Son, because the Bible tells us in Matthew 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour, for 3 hours of darkness. The very sun. You can see it in the sorrow of the cross or prick in the sun. And this seems to be something that was found out even in Israel, but in Egypt, one of the writers said, either the divine being suffers or suffers with him that suffers. Or the whole frame of the world is dissolving. That's what they wrote down when they saw what happened, even in Egypt. And mourned as Christ of God died upon the cross and hung upon the cross. The very sun hid his face. And darkness came all over the whole earth, over the land for 3 hours. Oh, have you ever seen the sorrow like unto the sorrow of Christ? Well, the sun even, it blacked out. But I have to confess, I have never seen any sorrow like this. And that you, everyone in this meeting, we have come across instances in our life that we've had sorrow in our homes, sorrow in our hearts, sorrow in our communities over the troubles. But I have never seen sorrow like unto the sorrow of Christ. There's never been events taking place here in our province, in our homes, in our families, where the very sons. There's no sorrow, there's no anguish like the very anguish of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it says in Isaiah 53, verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And that's why we sang that hymn to me, man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim, hallelujah, what a Savior. Oh, the anguish of the cross, behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. When we think about his soul, and we think about his sovereignty, we think about his saints, we think about his separation, we think about the Son, we have to say, there's no sorrow like unto the sorrow of the cross of Christ. Never will be. You can go through history, you can go through the world wars, you can go through the death, the destructions, the devastation. There's never been, and never will be, a sorrow like unto this sorrow. The King of glory dying on the cross. Could you imagine him? There he is. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. And then he speaks, can I say, about the agony of the cross. For he went on to say, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. I want you to notice not only the anguish, but the agony of the cross. And you have the pain of his affliction. He says, the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. He uses three words. He talks about afflicted. It means to cause grief. The word fierce means sore displeasure, and then you have the word the wrath in the day of his fierce anger. You see, here is the pain of the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, back even to Jeremiah, look at me, look what I will do, how I will die upon the cross. The Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. It was not an easy thing for Christ to go to the cross. Never think that. It was not an easy thing for the spotless Son of God to come down into this world and to die upon the cross, because the Bible teaches us, the Word of God teaches us, that Christ died in the sinner's place. He became our substitute. Instead of the wrath of God falling upon me, child of God, tonight, on you, instead of God's wrath falling down upon us, it fell upon his Son. The Lord hath afflicted me. The Lord of heaven has afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 and verse 5 something about the pain of his affliction. It says there in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. It says in the verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Think of the words of the prophet Isaiah is using here in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been tormented, he's been wounded, he's been bruised, he's been afflicted. Why is Christ dying? Why is he suffering? Why all the pain? Well, he tells us why. He says it's for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Oh, the pain of the affliction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me, he said, afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. See the pain of his affliction. Christ dying for our sins. See, as Spurgeon says, now what ought one sinner to have suffered? The answer, he said, eternal misery in hell. What then must have been the pangs which in Christ's case stood as equivalent of the eternal agonies of one sinner? But he says Christ died not for one sinner, but for tens of thousands, for countless multitudes. And this man compared the death of one sinner. Christ is dying for one person, one sinner dying for their sins. Oh, how awful the price he had to pay for one sinner. How awful the pain he had to suffer as he bled and died upon the cross, just for one soul, for one sinner. But you see, Christ suffered for multitudes. The Bible says so many, we can't even number them in the book of Revelation. I cannot tell you tonight the pain the Lord Jesus Christ suffered upon the cross. We do not know, but I know this. He suffered, and he suffered greatly. He says, the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. The very wrath of God fell down upon Christ because he died for sins. He became our substitute. He came to make reconciliation for his people, to satisfy the divine justice for our sins to God. The thieves beside him, they were crucified, but they had no sufferings like this. They faced the wrath of the Roman law. But Christ faced the wrath of an offended and an angry God. Have you ever seen affliction like this? The very agony of the cross. The Lord had afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. And when God the Father looked and he saw the sin placed upon his Son, this sin that was horrible, defilement, placed upon his Son, his wrath fell upon Christ. He said, the Lord afflicted me. The Father punished his Son. You see, you think of the pain of his affliction. Do you know anybody who ever suffered like that? Do you know anybody? Now, we know people who have suffered, and we sympathize with families and everything about that, but I do not know anybody who has suffered like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can turn our mind back, those of us who are older in this congregation, we can think of terrible atrocities in our wee province over the years, how people were tortured and beaten to death. But we have never known anything like this. The wrath of God falling upon Christ for our souls, for our sins, that our souls might be saved. the Lord afflicted me. You see the affliction of this, the agony of the cross, and the pain. Think about the purpose of affliction. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to put away sin. Hebrews 9, verse 27, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And when we turn our eyes to Calvary, what do we find? We find Christ suffering upon the cross, but we find him dying upon the cross, and he's doing something. The Bible tells us he has come to put away sin. How is he going to do this? He's going to do it by the sacrifice of himself. He offered himself a sacrifice for our sins. Here's the purpose of all the affliction. Here's why the wrath of God fell upon Christ. He's putting away our sin. And there's only one way. There's only one way to put away our sin. And that is to punish it. That is to punish it. And how did God the Father punish our sin? He punished it in Christ. Our sins were laid upon him, and then the wrath of God fell upon Christ. And he put away our sin. And that's why we were singing, he said, it is finished. It is finished was his cry. What a wonderful thing, you see. Oh, he says, behold and see. Has it nothing to you all you pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. For if the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Have you ever seen an affliction like this? Have you ever seen agony like this? The Lord Jesus dying upon the cross, and the wrath of his Father is falling, falling, falling down upon Christ. Have you ever seen agony like this? Lord, lead me to Calvary. May God lead every child of God tonight to Calvary. To see what it costs to save you and me. To put away our sin. You see the purpose of it. That's why we sang burning shame. And scoffing rude in my place condemned, he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. The agony of the cross is seen, or can be seen, in the purpose of his affliction. Think of the purity of his affliction. You see, in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the death of an innocent man. The two fellows beside him, they had done wrong, as I have said. They broke the Roman law, and they deserved to die. They received, both of these men received the death penalty. But here is Christ. Here's an innocent man who did no sin, who knew no sin, who was pure and holy and undefiled. He was separated from sinners. And there he is upon the cross. One said in him was no sin, and yet the sins of men were laid upon him. Did you ever see anybody dying like Christ? The very purity of his death. There he is, dying upon the cross, but for no sin, for no fault of his own. Oh, we have never come across a death like the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've never seen the agony of anyone's death like Christ. You think about the purity of his affliction. An innocent man dying for you and I. The just for the unjust, that he may bring us to God. Think of the passion in his affliction. Can we not see his love? He loves us so much, he died for us. He did it voluntarily. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. There he is. Let us, by faith, visit Calvary tonight. Let us think about his love. Let us think about his mercy. Let us think about him laying down his life upon the cross. We think of the very anguish. We think of the very agony at the cross. There he is, dying. Why? Because he loves us. He laid down his life because he loved us. Oh, unsaved, do you think of Calvary? This is the story of the Lamb of God coming down into this world to bleed and die upon the cross. The Lord hath afflicted me, he says. Lead me to Calvary. Lead me to Calvary. The agony of the cross. Oh, Jeremiah could look over the city. And you know, he saw the agony, he saw the pain, he saw the suffering. He saw the affliction. He saw all the death, the destruction, and everything about it. But you knew when you looked to the cross, you think of Christ. And child of God, maybe you're going through hard times and difficult times and suffering. We all have them. But I think if we just stopped in our life where we are, and when I surveil the wonders crossed on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but cost, but Aileen, we just look to Christ. Just look to Christ. And that'll solve all your problems. The agony of the cross. But can I say lastly, the appeal from the cross. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? It is as if the Lord Jesus looks. He looks at the crowd that's going past him. The crowd's all gathered around the cross and they're passing by. And he says, it's a nothing. It's a nothing to you, all ye that pass by. Here's the appeal from the cross. It's a nothing to you. A personal appeal. All were faced with this appeal. Is it nothing to you that I am dying on the cross? Is it nothing for you that I have taken the sins of sinners upon my body? Is it nothing for you that the wrath of my Father has fell upon me to put away sin? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Is it nothing to you in the meeting? What does this mean to you tonight in the service? The death of the Lord Jesus Christ, dying upon the cross in agony, shedding his blood for sinners, is it nothing to you? A personal appeal, a passing appeal, all ye that pass by, because the people were passing by. In Mark 15, verse 29, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads. And there were people evidently when Christ was placed upon their cross and dying on their cross, they were passing by. It's a passing appeal. It's nothing to you, all you pass by. You know, you're just passing by here tonight. Maybe you don't normally come to this church. I don't know. You're only passing through. The question is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And every one of us is passing by tonight. Every one of us is passing through here tonight, this meeting. It's a powerful appeal as well. He says, behold and see. You see, we can stop and look and behold. And people stop and they look up to Christ and they are saved. By looking to Jesus Christ, behold the Lamb of God was taken away the sin of the world. And it's a neglected appeal. Behold, it's enough to do all ye that pass by. Imagine people passing by the cross. The greatest event in the history of this world, the death of Christ. And people just passed by it. They didn't care. They didn't care about it. They mocked Christ. They railed on Christ, as I have read attacks there in the Bible. They laughed. They mocked at the Lord Jesus Christ. They neglected it. They rejected it. And they walked past. You know, when we hear such and such a person killed, whatever it may be, people are very interested. Reading the newspapers, and then if it's on the news or some event, grips your heart, you put there, oh, there's it all quick, everyone's to be quiet in the house, let's hear what's happening. Have they found anybody? How did it happen? We're all interested in the death, and it's a tragedy when things happen. They do happen in communities in our country of the United Kingdom, and yet people pass by the greatest death of all, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They just seem to wave their hand and walk on towards a lost eternity. If this means nothing to you, then you're lost. You're lost. If this means nothing to you in this service tonight, that Christ died for sinners, you can't say Christ died for me. You're not trusting Him. You have not turned from your sin. You have not put your faith in Christ. If it means nothing to you, and you're heading to a lost eternity in hell. You need to be saved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And to many people, the preaching of the cross, it is only foolishness. Foolishness, they say. But notice, it's to them that perish. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Here's the appeal from the cross. And I say to you tonight, and there's maybe young people tonight brought up in this church and Sunday school and everything about it, and the question goes to your heart tonight, and you've been tempted by the world and drawn out into the world, running after the sins of the world. I say to you tonight, it's enough unto you, all ye that pass by. Older person tonight, it's enough unto you. And you're passing by the cross tonight through the preaching of Christ. Is it nothing to you that Christ died? That He suffered? That He shed His blood? That He's a Savior? I trust tonight, if you should know, well, I have been passing by, I have been running past the cross, that tonight you'll stop and you'll say, Lord Jesus, save me. I've run away from you a long time, but now I'm coming home. Would you look to Christ? Would you come to Him? He'll save you, and He'll give you everlasting life tonight. And then it'll be everything to you. Everything. Christ will be everything to you. You'll be able to say, my Savior, He died for me. He shed His blood for me. His blood has cleansed me. He's made me white on the snow. Isn't that wonderful? Don't pass by tonight, but stop. Behold the Lord Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He will save you. He will forgive you. He'll take you to heaven. Would you trust Him? Repent and come to Him. He died to save us. And there's no salvation outside of this message in the Bible. There's no salvation outside of Christ. But all that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. If I can help anyone, do speak with us tonight. You should leave the meeting. Go out and come in again. Settle this matter tonight about your soul and say, I've run away from Christ for too long. It's time now to come to Him. And maybe you say tonight, I've learned lessons. I never knew how much He loved me. I never knew how much He suffered for me. I want Him to be my Savior. Well, I trust that'll be so. And you'll come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for tonight. And we thank You for help, Lord, through the foolishness of preaching. And I pray that my weak efforts are lifting up Christ. Lord, that I will bless them. And even your own people tonight has been brought back to Calvary. Realize afresh something of the great love that Christ has had for them. We pray for those who are not saved. I pray they'll not pass by foolishly tonight. But all they'll stop, behold, and see. Just stop where they are. Take their eyes off the circumstances, the difficulties, the doubts, Father, and the fears. And they'll look by faith to Christ and see the Man of Sorrows dying to save us. Give them grace to come to Thee, we pray. Take their separate ways, Lord, into our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.